Picture an ancient battlefield at dawn. Two massive armies face each other, weapons gleaming, war drums thundering. Between them stands Arjuna, perhaps history's greatest archer, his chariot positioned for a clear view of both sides. But instead of readying his bow, he collapses in despair. Across the field, he sees his beloved grandfather, his revered teachers, his cousins and friends. How can he kill those he loves? He'd rather die himself than commit such violence. In this moment of existential crisis, his charioteer, who happens to be Krishna, God incarnate, begins speaking. What follows isn't military strategy, but perhaps the most profound spiritual dialogue ever recorded. The Bhagavad Gita, a 700-verse text that has guided everyone from Gandhi to Oppenheimer, from ancient sages to modern Silicon Valley leaders. Krishna's first response cuts through Arjuna's grief with startling directness, revealing a truth about existence itself. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Why does this conversation on an ancient battlefield still resonate so powerfully today? Krishna introduces the Gita's revolutionary concept, the soul's immortality. Death is merely changing bodies, like discarding worn clothes. The essential self remains untouched, eternal, beyond destruction. When Arjuna worries about killing relatives, Krishna explains no one truly kills or is killed. The soul simply transitions. While neuroscience struggles to explain consciousness emerging from matter, the Gita presents consciousness as primary, an eternal principle animating bodies rather than produced by them. Identifying with the changeless soul rather than temporary body grants steadiness to act without paralysis. Krishna then introduces karma yoga, selfless action. His revolutionary answer, you have the right to perform your duties, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your actions. Anxiety stems from outcome attachment, stress over uncertainty, devastation at disappointment, dissatisfaction even when expectations are met. Krishna offers a different path. Focus on the action itself, performed skillfully and devotedly, offering results to something greater. A surgeon operates with complete focus, not seeking recognition. A parent changes diapers from love, not calculating gratitude. The genius lies in accessibility. Not everyone can retreat to monasteries, but everyone can shift their attitude toward existing work. Even mundane tasks become yoga when performed with full attention and offered selflessly. Krishna introduces the three gunas, fundamental qualities shaping all behavior. Sattva brings clarity and peace, like calm after meditation. Rajas manifests as ambition and restlessness, the driven energy building empires but never finding satisfaction. Tamas produces lethargy and confusion, the fog keeping you stuck binge-watching shows you don't enjoy. These modes constantly compete within us. One moment, you're clear and purposeful, sattva, the next ambitious and scattered, rajas, then suddenly lethargic. Understanding this fluctuation offers profound self-awareness. When tamasic lethargy creeps in, choose activities that increase energy. When rajasic restlessness dominates, channel that drive toward meaningful pursuits. This teaching transforms psychology into practical wisdom. Instead of being helplessly driven by moods, you become conscious of which guna influences you. Even sattva must ultimately be transcended. True freedom comes from identifying with the consciousness, witnessing all three modes without being controlled by any. Arjuna asks to see Krishna's true divine nature. Krishna grants divine sight, revealing infinity, countless mouths and eyes, radiance of 1,000 suns, the entire universe in one form. Wonder turns to terror as Arjuna sees all beings rushing into Krishna's mouths like moths into flame. Krishna reveals himself as all-devouring time. Even without your participation, all the warriors arrayed in the opposing armies shall cease to exist. Trembling, Arjuna begs Krishna to return to his gentle human form. This vision establishes Krishna's divinity beyond doubt and places the battlefield dilemma in cosmic perspective. What we see with ordinary eyes is merely a fragment. The universe is vaster and more mysterious than everyday consciousness can grasp. Yet Arjuna prefers Krishna's personal appearance, suggesting that while God's infinite nature transcends understanding, divine love manifests most meaningfully in relationships we can actually experience. After exploring knowledge, action, and meditation, Krishna reveals devotion as the supreme path. Those who fix their minds on me, worship me with unwavering devotion, and are always absorbed in me, I consider them to be the best yogis. While knowledge grasps the absolute intellectually, only the heart knows God as living presence. True devotion isn't emotional fervor, but character transformation, becoming compassionate, friendly, free from possessiveness, even-minded in all circumstances. The beauty of this path is its accessibility. While intellectual knowledge requires education and meditation demands specific conditions, devotion can be practiced anywhere by anyone. This intelligent love offers all actions as service, recognizes all beings as divine fragments, and views all experiences as growth opportunities. Krishna promises special care. I provide what they lack and preserve what they have. While sincere effort matters, devotees ultimately depend on grace rather than personal achievement alone. After 18 chapters of instruction, Krishna reveals the most confidential knowledge. Abandon all varieties of religious duties and simply surrender unto me alone. I shall liberate you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This seemingly contradicts earlier emphasis on duty, but actually transcends it. Now that Arjuna understands action through devotion, Krishna reveals the deeper principle. All religious practices ultimately aim at complete surrender to the divine. This surrender isn't passive resignation, but active alignment with divine will. It means recognizing we're not independent actors, but eternal parts of the Supreme. Our attempts to control life through limited intelligence create suffering. Surrendering to divine guidance brings freedom. Just as a river surrenders to the ocean, losing separate identity yet finding fulfillment in union with something greater, the soul finds perfection in loving surrender to the divine. Krishna's promise, "Do not fear," addresses our deepest anxiety, that we must secure our existence through constant struggle. Surrender offers an alternative, discovering we're already held by a power greater than ourselves. The Bhagavad Gita endures because it addresses the universal human condition. While contemporary society reduces success to wealth and status, the Gita presents a deeper vision. True fulfillment comes from living in harmony with our essential nature and cosmic order. Krishna's Karma Yoga speaks directly to our burnout culture. Where people are defined by productivity and consumed by results, his instruction to perform your duty without attachment to success or failure offers liberation from anxiety. Work becomes meditation and offering, not merely a means to an end. The three gunas provide a framework for understanding psychological forces in our world of information overload and polarization. The emphasis on devotion addresses our hunger for meaning. Seeing the divine in all beings transforms ordinary life into sacred encounter. For activists, the Gita offers crucial guidance. Combining passionate commitment with non-attachment prevents burnout without sacrificing dedication. Its teaching on surrender challenges our control-obsessed culture. True security comes not from controlling life, but from aligning with its deeper currents. In a world selling productivity in pills and mindfulness in apps, the Gita reminds us that transformation isn't about acquiring more, but remembering who we truly are, eternal souls needing only to surrender to the love that has held us all along.